As that familiar music tells us, our tech guru Jesse Feiler is in the house. He joins us this morning to tell us the latest about technology, especially when it comes to smart homes, smart cities, smart people. Don't we need all of those things? Jesse helps people and organizations become smarter, getting us to know and use new technologies. Projects have included building the page caching module for the Prodigy web browser for Mac in the very early days of the web, location-based apps for iPhone and iOS, as well as books and classes on new technologies. It's always a pleasure to welcome him to our program. Jesse, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very
good
nice
to
have you on the program. So this came out of, from what I understand, we have talked on and off over the years about all of these electronic shows, different things that are going on, technology shows, groups of smart people coming together, talking about what the latest in tech is. And through these things, themes emerge, and you sort of understand what's sort of happening in the world. Last year, for example, it was like 4K, right? 4K.
4G.
Oh, I'm sorry, 4G.
Yes.
Isn't 4K something else?
Yes.
What is that?
It's a secret code that has to do with launching missiles to Hawaii.
God. No. So what's the TV thing?
Well, we're getting fancier, faster TVs.
Is that 4G?
That will be 4K.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you were doing that. I was doing communications.
I got you.
Okay, so yeah, it's these numbers. You know, once you get past about 3, it's hard to keep them separated.
Can I ask a dumb question? I'm going to just ask you a dumb question. Let me just start off with this. Because when it comes to numbers, we have the iPhone 8, and then I thought it was the iPhone X, but apparently it's the iPhone 10. So what happened to 9?
You
don't have to answer that.
unfortunately, I will.
Okay, all right.
The device is the iPhone.
Yes.
The operating system that the iPhone runs, as well as Apple TV and other products, is called iOS.
Yes.
It started out as the iPhone OS for operating system, and then we wound up with this messy situation in 2010 where the operating system for the iPad, a new device at that point, was the iPhone OS. And this really annoyed a whole bunch of people because they thought, you know, it's, you know, which is it?
Yes.
So they renamed iPhone OS into iOS, which runs the iPhone, the iPad, Apple TV, and so forth. So that's how iOS is now version 11 and the iPhone is at version 8.
Okay.
So that's you're not confused.
Okay.
You've actually got it right.
But there is an iPhone 10, that iPhone X, the big one, right? There's the 8 and then the 10.
Yes. Okay, that's part of the iPhone 8 suite.
Okay.
Of devices.
All right. So it's really 8 even though it's 10, but it's running 11.
The operating system, iOS 11.
All right.
Now
that I've completely confused the audience, let us talk about making us smarter, making our home smarter, making our city smarter. Your point being that this year, this will be the big thing that will be discussed amongst the techies who gather in various places across this great country.
Yes, and it's, with all due respect, it's unfair to blame everything on the techies because we'll take a lot of the blame. But a certain amount of the confusion blame goes to, dare I say it, the media.
Oh, well, okay. Good. We'll take it. You blame for everything else? Why not?
Yeah. What's happened is one of the things we have is we have these certain periods like the Consumer Electronics Show at the beginning of January in Las Vegas, which is a big deal.
Yes.
And announcements come out from there. And what we're seeing now is that it used to be very easy because the announcements were things like new devices and so forth. And now in this year in particular, we don't have breathtaking new devices being announced that are for sale or for sale shortly from CES. That's the big thing. So in searching for what it is that CES has showed us this year, we're seeing the culmination of these smart devices, smart homes, smart other things. They've been building up over a couple of years, and we're now getting smart homes. We have smart cities now. And the thread that goes through it that I see is that all of these things involve the use of more and more data that we're using on demand. So what makes your home smarter is the same thing that, in a sense, makes the city smarter, because we have sensors there sensing where the traffic is going, synchronizing traffic lights and so forth. So we're all of this data needs to be brought together for smart homes, smart cities, and the other buzzword du jour of artificial intelligence. Does that make any sense?
It does.
It's all data related.
Now, I remember one of your earliest appearances on this program that we were talking about some aspect of this, that we would be able to use a device, use our phones, use our although I think when we started, maybe even phones weren't as omnipresent as they are now. Although there was this idea that we would be able to kind of put under one umbrella the idea of setting our lights, setting our heat, setting our air conditioning, doing that kind of thing on our computers or whatever. So we've been talking about this a long time, but obviously we've come a long way.
Yes. And we're still talking about it. The difference is that we are starting to do it. And it is now possible. In fact, I heard just this morning as I was driving down, I believe it was on Marketplace on WAMC. So if it was on WAMC, it must be accurate.
Absolutely.
Absolutely must be accurate. They were talking about one of the things that's coming out from the Consumer and Electronics Show this year, which is more and more autonomous vehicles. And the comment was that next year, General Motors has announced they are ready to start deploying totally autonomous cars, that is, vehicles without pedals, without wheels, without drivers.
Okay.
In limited environments, you know, not, you know, neighborhood streets, but certainly controlled circumstances. But GM says they're ready to go next year with some of them.
Okay.
And the comment that I heard on WAMC was that it's going to be a while before this filters down and you can go out and buy one of these for personal use. This is your point of why we've been talking about it for so long. And the statement was that it's going to be the mid-2000s before you can go out and buy one of these for personal use. Now, this is 2018. The mid-2000s would be like 7 years from now, maybe even 10 years from now. You're going to, according to what I heard, you're going to be able to go out and buy an autonomous vehicle. That's rather remarkable. We haven't heard that short time frame yet. So the point is, we've been talking about all of these things, the smart devices, smart homes, for quite a long time, and Rome wasn't built in a day. It does take a while to get all of the things working together. They're very complex systems, and we now seem to be at a point where we can no longer say this is something that's going to happen in the world of tomorrow. We can say it's going to happen in some ways next year.
So let me ask you a philosophical question. I like asking these, so, and especially asking you, because you actually...
I always make up something.
No. Just because we can do it doesn't mean we should. Just because we have the technology doesn't mean that we need it.
That's not a question.
It's not?
No. That's a statement.
Well, no.
That gives me time to consider a response to the implicit question.
Well, meaning it does, I think it is a question. If does the fact that we can do it mean that we should do it?
Okay.
Question mark.
Question.
Phonetic punctuation, Victor Borge style. Go ahead.
I'm not certain that it's related to two articles that I posted on the website this morning. One from the New York Times, one from the Washington Post.
ChamplainArts.com.
And
check later.
What? And the articles both are about the smart devices that are coming out now and how people are using them. And that, for example, with the intelligent assistants in homes where you can tell a device to turn on the lights, to flush the toilet now, all of these things that you can tell a computer to do, and it will do it. Most people are not using them for anything more than the most basic things, like setting timers.
Okay.
So to the question of should we be doing this, is it takes a long time to get the technologies working. And that's why it's taken so long to get autonomous cars working. And smart homes working. It takes a long to get them working. And then once we get them working at a minimally acceptable level, it takes a long time for people to get used to knowing that they are there and what they can do with them. So that's a roundabout answer to should we do it. We have to do these trivial things like flushing a toilet with your phone. Forgive me if I offend anyone by saying that's trivial.
No, it's important.
But we have to do those things in order to get to the place where we can do bigger things.
You make the point in some of the materials that you put on the on your website that sometimes it is very possible for us to be using this technology without even realizing that we're using this technology.
That's the goal.
Okay.
That's really
brainwash and get us going.
No, that's the goal in many ways. If you can see the technology, it's not successful.
Okay.
You should just do it. It should just be there and it works. That to me is the goal.
So let me ask you a question. I have one of these Google Home devices. There's Google Home, there's Alexa, there's all these different Amazon Echo, blah, blah, blah. And I have one of these things. And you can say, hey, Google, what's the weather outside? And it'll tell you what the weather outside is. Mm-hmm. It's very, very convenient. I use it a lot. I can say, hey, Google, I'd like to watch The Crown on Netflix. Boom, there it is. It's on my television set. Now, I know that that has the power to also put the heat up, put the heat down. But that requires a lot of work. Now, by the way, your definition of a lot of work and my definition of a lot of work may be different. But it requires a lot of work and technology within the heating system that I may or may not have. And it just seems to be sort of overwhelming. I look at the thing. I see all of the cool things. Every day they send me a little list of the new cool things that I can do with this device that sits on my stand next to my chair in my living room. But I don't always know. It just seems like a lot of work where I can just go over and go three steps and turn my heat down.
That's a very good point. And this brings up the issue of when I talk about technology, I think should disappear. There is a basic, I won't say it's a disagreement, but a different perspective on the visibility of technology as technology. Yeah. Between a lot of people who agree with me, who think that we should make the technology disappear so it just works. And on the other side are marketing people who have to sell the stuff. So they have to make it very clear that the way in which you got a comfortable temperature in your living room next to your chair is because you bought this thing.
Right.
So those are two concepts that have to work together.
Right.
And so on the one hand, we want to make things invisible so they just work, so you don't have to think about it. So you don't have to say, I can't use this device for some of the things I know it could do because it's too complicated. And on the other hand, we have people saying that you have to see the device because you have to buy it or lease it or whatever. Does that make sense?
It does. But I think, and tell me if I'm going off point here, I don't want to, so tell me if I am and I'll just withdraw the question. But it reminds me of sort of a Betamax versus VHS thing where you have sort of systems that are competing with each other. Just to your point of taking the technology out of it would be important because we have these competing technologies where oh, perhaps I can't get Netflix or can't get Hulu on this device, but I could get it on that device. And then you find yourselves with different devices, different systems, while ultimately what you need to do is just have one thing that can run everything.
Yes, and there's tremendous competition for being the manufacturer that produces the one thing that runs everything.
Right.
That's why you have home automation from Google and from Apple and from Amazon. So that's part of the marketplace and how things have to evolve. And there is now a market for, and there are products that are doing things like saying, for instance, you said, you talked about The Crown.
Yes.
And in order to watch The Crown, you have to perform a certain task in order to watch The Crown.
Yeah.
And that task that, or I'm sorry, you don't have to, a task has to be performed.
Right.
In order for you to watch The Crown. And the task is figuring out what channel, outlet, network, thing is it on.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, and then somebody has to pay for it. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah. But that, so, and so that's one of the things that some of these devices are starting to do, so that you can talk to one of those devices and say, show me The Crown.
And it doesn't matter whether it's on Hulu or Netflix or HBO Go. It doesn't matter, because assuming that you're a junkie and you, like me, and you have all of them, then it just comes up in your TV and it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're bringing that. That's where the technology starts to disappear.
So let me tell you a little story as a way of moving the conversation into smart cities. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a city, and I won't name the city, but but I didn't.
We'll guess.
But I didn't have to leave this office and go very far. Okay. So I was at a football game. My nephew was on a football game, and it was at night, and it was at a stadium. And we were sitting there, and it's a city-owned complex, apparently. And we're sitting there, and right before the halftime of the game, the lights go out. Lights just go out completely to the stadium. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, a fuse blew, something went wrong, something happened. Oh, what do you do? And we were wondering why it took so long to get the lights back up, or at least some sort of generator that would allow lights. And they said, oh, well, you know, the light switch, the person we have to do to get this is in Iowa. And it took, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 minutes to get the lights back on because they had to call Iowa. Now, that doesn't seem very smart to me, but I don't know how that fits into how we make our cities smarter, so that there is a way that if the lights go down, that you don't maybe have to cross state lines to turn them on.
Well, I would say that is actually a very positive anecdote.
Really?
When you compare 25 minutes to get the stadium lights back on with the 2-hour power outage at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Right. Well, right.
I mean, it took them 2 hours.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have, there are all of these things, but all of these things, not all, many of these things, like flipping the switch, finding where the switch is.
Yeah.
That is something that is automatable. We should not be relying on someone knowing that Joe's cousin's second daughter works for that company in Iowa that knows where the light switch is.
And this is, to bring this to some topicality, this is what we saw in Hawaii over the weekend, right? That it took 38 minutes to figure out how to stop the alert that went out that said, oh, there's a nuclear attack coming.
And since we're jumping to Hawaii, that incident actually has just, I just saw it today. There are screenshots of, what did you hear? You heard that they pushed the wrong button?
That there was some sort of, that there was a configuration that, there are various configurations, and it was wrongly configured during the shift change. That was what I heard.
Okay. And it was said that someone pushed the wrong button.
Ultimately, yes.
Okay. Today, and I didn't post it on the website, I posted it on Facebook, but it's going to be all over the web by the later today. there is a screenshot of the image of the screen with the commands on it. And you can see how this happened, because there are, I think, 8 commands on the critical scene screen. The first command, and I'm jumbling them together, but this is basically what you see. The first command says, send an Amber Alert test.
Correct.
Second command is send real Amber Alert. Third command is send missile warning test. Fourth command is send tsunami test. Fifth command is send real missile alert. I mean, like 8 of these things jumbled together, not even a separation between the missile stuff and the tsunami stuff, or between the tests and the actual ones.
And you just take your mouse on the one that you want to pick and press it? Is that what you do?
That or it might be your finger on a touchscreen device.
Okay.
But there is no logic to these 8. Absolutely none.
Now, realizing that we're running out of time, but I want to stay on this topic and yet stay with the topic at large. It seems to me, though, that if cities are looking to become smart and they're trying to move toward this technology, that this kind of thing that happens that is very much in the public eye and is getting a lot of scrutiny, as it should, by the way, that doesn't really help the cause, does it?
It doesn't, and that is why it's so important that we get the little things done right. And some of these things, like especially because we have so many people who are leading organizations who are really not comfortable with technology, who are saying, oh, it doesn't matter what the screen looks like. I mean, they haven't, you know, they really don't care about that. That's why the design of software and interfaces is so important, because to return to my theme du jour, the software and the technology can't disappear unless the technology and the interface are done right, because it has to be possible for it to interfere because it is not overly complicated.
But to do that, it seems to me, sir, that we have to then at some point all be on the same page, that the Googles, the Amazons, and the Apples of the world have to all figure out, okay, this is how we're going to do this.
I'm not sure that's the solution, because that assumes that we can... I think what the page we have to all be together on is logical ways of things working, making things easy to understand, and in fact, getting away from something that people have to understand, whether The Crown is on Netflix or Hulu, and saying that is something that people shouldn't need to worry about. We can automate that.
Unless you are Hulu or Netflix, and you want people to know that, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. But it also seems to me, so I have a plug, and this is an AC adapter, and I put it into the plug, and it, so that's universal. There's a universal thing of how I plug it in. All
in
these
this
devices,
country.
In this country, correct? Your country may vary, but in this country, that is the rule. And so it would just seem to me that if we had sort of a similar thing with the technology, that we all followed that it would make it a little bit easier.
Yes, and many of the developers of technologies, particularly on the hardware side, agree that we should have one common standard, and the one that they manufacture should be that. I'm not making this up.
No,
why are you laughing at me?
No, I know it's right, but you just don't see. But who's going to give? That's the problem, right?
And some of the leadership here has come from simplifying things, from consumer demand, and from organizations that are empowered to set standards, which at the moment seems to be the EU.
I love having you on this program. I love talking about this stuff. You can find out more. Jesse is wonderful putting all of this on his website, champlainarts.com. Jesse Feiler, a great pleasure. Thank you very
much
for being
here.
Thanks for making the trip in the bad weather. I appreciate it.